I'd like to welcome everyone here to the Heart of Christ Church out there on the internet, as I welcome everyone here, including our visitors. Thank you so much for coming. And our congregation, thank you for showing up this morning. It's great to have someone to talk to when I preach. If the room was empty, I'd have to preach to the dust mites. I'd still be here preaching, though. I want to do that. Now, this morning, with the amount of scriptures that I have, last week, Pastor Rich had them put up on the screen because we're going to go through quite a few of them. Some of them are real short. I know of one that's really long. And the title of this morning's sermon is, Why Come to Church? Now, that's a bona fide question. Why come to church? I know why most of you come to church. But if you're out there in a prayer walk or in your life or something and you're with your family or with other people, they may well ask you, why do you go to church? Or you may ask them, how come you don't come to church? So it's a bona fide question, especially in our culture right now, where people are walking away from the church because they have other things they'd rather do. Well, there's other things to do. You know, I get all kinds of answers to that. I'd say to the people that I know in my life, why don't you come to church? Well, some say that, well, it's the only day I get to sleep in. All right. There's something else going on. I'm taking the kids to wrestling matches. There's any number of excuses, but are they really a bona fide excuse? To the person giving them, they might be the reason, but really, think about it. One day a week, for, you know, a couple of hours, you come with other people and you worship God. Is it that hard to think about a being who created us, who put the whole universe at our disposal? I mean, some of the stuff we can't get to, although we did send a man to the moon a couple of years ago, and we're thinking of doing it again. You see, that President Trump said he wants to send us back to the moon. I think maybe Neil left something up there. They want to go get it, right? But, hey, we may go back there again. But I want to look at, why do we come to church? Our first scripture this morning is found in Psalms. And I think everybody got that all taken care of. And we're going to go through so many that we're going to have it up on here on the screen so you can actually see it. We're in the 122nd Psalm in the very first verse. And this is King David. And the Psalms were poetry and they were also sung. And in that first verse he says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. There should be joy coming to the house of the Lord. Are you joyful this morning? I'm getting a couple of head nods. I like that. I'm asking questions, and I guess you don't want to shout it out. Are you joyful this morning? Yes. Oh, my gosh. Say you're joyful. I'm joyful. We're joyful to be in the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. It's also a school. It's a gymnasium. But that's okay. Because where the Holy Spirit comes, where the Holy Spirit dwells, not only in our hearts, but in our midst, there's joy. All you people out on the internet, if you're living in Lebanon County, why aren't you here? You're watching us. You're sitting at home where it's nice and snug as a bug, and you're on your little computer, and you're watching this crazy pastor up here waving his arms all over the place. I'm asking you, why aren't you here with us? This is a great place to be. Look at all these smiling faces. Of course, you can't, but I can. They're smiling. They're happy to be here. David said, I was glad when he went to the house of the Lord. So why is it we come to church? It's for the fellowship. Our next scripture is found in Ecclesiastes Boy, that is a rough word to say, you know. I got to practice that over and over again. Is this making noise for you? Yep. Should I bend it out a little maybe? It's my beard. It's the beard. I'm not trimming it. I'm not trimming it. I'm going to look a long beard. I'll just push the microphone out a little bit. Look, bend it out. Okay. Try not to make that scratching noise. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it gives us an idea of why we come together in fellowship, okay? It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. I want to ask you a question. How often have you fallen down in this life and no one was there to help you? How often have you felt alone? I want you to know your church family is here for you. We call ourselves family in this church. We are family. We're brothers, we're sisters. I'm a grandpa. I'm also a brother to someone else. We're here for each other. So when one of us falls down, we can pick up the phone and say, Pastor Dave, Pastor Rich, Brother Bob, Brother Pete, Brother Jen, Sister Eva, Sister Jen. We're brothers and sisters. We look out for each other. And that's what God intended for us. He intended for us to be in a community, to be with each other. Now, sometimes we only get to see each other once a week or twice a month, but we come together as a gathering to worship God and to be with each other. God doesn't want us alone. You're not the Lone Ranger riding out there on your own. Even the Lone Ranger got knocked off his horse. He had a companion called Tonto. So if you're alone out there, no matter where you are in the world, if you're in Lebanon County, come and visit us. If you're visiting Lebanon County from somewhere else, come and visit us. Come see what this little church looks like that you get to watch every week on the internet. I invite you. Our next scripture was found in John, in the 13th chapter, and it's in verses 34 and 35. And this is Jesus talking to us. This is the Lord Jesus. And he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We love each other in this church. You want to feel that love? Come visit us. Stick around for a little while. See what it's like. I'm not going to tell you we're perfect, because everybody in this congregation loves each other, but sometimes we don't like each other. And that's okay, because if you're married, you love your spouse, you love your wife, you love your husband, but I know married couples can attest to this. Sometimes you don't like each other, and that's okay, and you know why? Because we have sin in our lives. We're all sinners here, saved by grace, but we love each other. I want to tell you what, there's groups of people out in the world who look at a truly Christian church and marvel at how all these people can love each other unselfishly. That is something to attain to love each other unselfishly, to have the type of love called agape love. And that's the type of love that God has for us, agape, which means that he put us first, above his own son, in order to redeem us. That is extraordinary. As I've been saying all morning, extraordinary, extraordinary, beyond comprehension. I can't quite grasp it sometimes. But do I feel it? I do. Do you feel it here, congregation? God's love for you? Amen. People out on the internet, wherever you are, do you belong to a church somewhere that preaches the gospel? The words of God found in His Bible. A love letter written to us. We need to read it every day. Ingest it, take it in. And after Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended to heaven, He left His apostles behind, the 12 and more that He taught. He gave them instructions, and we find it in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which we're going to put up on the screen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The early church knew that they needed to come together. They needed to be with each other. So that they could not only learn from the apostles what the Lord Jesus had given to them, but love each other. Have fellowship with each other. Now the beginning churches, they were in people's houses. They went to the temple and gathered in the courts. Well, our church is in an auditorium at a little school in Lebanon County. But I can tell you, we're making an impact into the world. Why? Because we come together in a fellowship filled with the Holy Spirit, with the power of God. And we use that humbly to go out into the world and make a difference. Because believe me, Satan is out in the world making a difference. Not just our culture here in America, but look around the world. Especially children are being abused and murdered. It's happening all over the world. People doing horrible things to other people. We come together to combat that. Can we chase it all away? No, we can't. But we can make a difference in one person's life. That's what this congregation is here for, to make a difference. Not only in the lives of our membership around here, but in our families and in the people in our communities. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And what that means is as we come together and support each other and love each other by the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, we can't be broken. We can't be knocked down. Because if one of us gets knocked down, we lift them up. What do we do when we come together? In Romans chapter 12, verse 15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Very short sentence. An extraordinary amount of wisdom here. When we come together as a family, as a congregation, the Heart of Christ Church, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We're rejoicing with Charles, I should say. But he's getting up there, you know what I mean? He's starting to grow fur. You know what I mean? He's getting a little bit of a beard going. He's going off to college. Can't call him Chucky anymore. He's not Chucky. He's Chuck. You know what? He's a man. He's growing up into a man. And we rejoice with him because he did well with his testing. That's something to rejoice about, isn't it? All right, he's going off to college and all the stuff that he's going to, that higher education, he's back there going, oh yeah, I'm going off. But you're not going alone. The Heart of Christ Church goes with you. Our prayers go with you. We care about you. Now, you're going to go away for a little while, and then you're going to come back to us on occasions. And we're going to get to hug you and ask how your grades are, how things are going, what did you learn. That's what part of being a church is, being a church family. We care about each other. In 1 Corinthians, we're going to move there, chapter 1, verse 9. We could not be the church without this. I want you to think about this. We could not be the church. Oh, we come together as a group. And there's all kinds of groups out there, fraternal orders and clubs and all this stuff that you can get to, right? You can join. I mean, I'm not busting on any of that stuff. I mean, you can be in a soccer club and a wrestling club and a football club, and there's probably drinking clubs out there and all kinds of other stuff. But in God's church, in His church, okay, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what makes the church unique. We're coming up to this idea that I want you to get, that we're a body. I mean, we all have a body. I have a body. It's getting a little more, okay, it's happening. My wife's a good cook, and I love when she cooks. Oh, she's a good baker, too. Oh, bake. Oh, yeah. Good baking, all right? A lot of people in here are good cooks and good bakers. I know Pastor Rich used to make a mean chili at one time. He'd bring it in. Good chili. But we're called to be in that fellowship. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has called us into that. And we've accepted that. And He has integrated us into a body that is on this earth, that is tied together. The universal church. The church, His body. And we're part of that as the Heart of Christ Church. And each one of us is members of that body. Now it comes to our really long scripture. But I'm going to read it all because it explains what the body is. Okay? And it's using the metaphor of a human body. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through... I have 12 through 14 here, but I must have made a mistake there because it's actually 12 through 26. I'm sorry. 12 through 26. It's a really long one. But I want you to take in what I'm telling you. This is the Word of God, and He's explaining what this fellowship, what this body looks like. Okay? For even as the body is one and yet has many members, our human body, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So it is with Christ. He has a body that is on this planet, a physical body, and we are all members of it. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, is it not for this reason? Is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body? For the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. For if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer than the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which are deemed less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I want you to think about that. Now, that was a very long verse. But what God's trying to tell us there is, we're a member of the body. Just as your body has many members. You have two eyes, one mouth, two ears. Probably God designed us that way so that we look more and listen more than we speak more. Because how many times has your mouth got you in trouble? I know it's got me in trouble many a time, okay? You got to have feet to walk. You got to have hands to grasp. So it is with the church. Each and every one of you have been placed in this body for a reason, okay? Some of you may be to pray. Some of you may be to hug somebody who's fallen down. Maybe you were placed in here to be hugged. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are carpenters. Some of you are mechanics. Some of you are plumbers. Some of you are electricians. Some of you are truck drivers. Some of you are hunters. Some of you are fishermen. Some of you are knitters. Some of you are cookers. And it's not anything to do with gender, because we have female hunters. We have men who like to cook. I like to cook, and I'm going to cook something for this Saturday night. I think I'm going to try minestrone. Anybody like minestrone soup? I want you to think about it. Kind of like a church and your body. If you start leaving out ingredients in the minestrone soup, would it be minestrone soup? No, it would be something else. So without you, as members of this body, we wouldn't truly be the type of church God wants us to be because we're missing a couple of members. And God is bringing them in. God brings people in. Okay? I wasn't always a member of this church. Well, yes, I guess I am always a member of this church because we're a new church start, all right? But some of you have come to become members or come visiting, and you weren't here from the beginning when we first started this church 8 years ago. All right? But you've come to be members. Why? Because God is bringing you into the membership. God wants you here. And we need you here. We need you. Each and every one of us, we need each other. So why do we come to church? Because we need each other. I don't want to tell you what. You know what's out there. All right? Everybody knows what's out there in the world. All right? There's the atheists that say there is no God. And if you follow their line of reasoning to the very end, oh, I mean, it leads to nothing. It leads to death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. There's drugs out there and alcohol. There's people who abuse each other. There's some horrible things out there. And the most horrible thing of all, lies. There's lies out there. Okay? We have the truth. God gave us the truth. Come into the congregation so we can learn the truth. We learned it in discipleship hour. In the other part of this building, we're in a little classroom. We all got together. It was packed. Almost standing room only. Why? There is a hunger in a human being for truth. And when you latch on to the real truth, which is God, nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. And how do you discern what's out there lying unless you have the truth? One of the other things we do as a congregation, as membership, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ," which we read earlier. He said, "The commandment I give to you, love each other." We don't just love each other when everything's going great. We love each other when things aren't going great. Boy, it's easy to love someone. Everything's going blue skies. Everything's great. Hey, no problem. Everything's great. But to truly love someone is to be there when they're down and they're out. And the world has sucker punched them. And they're laying on the ground. That's what we're there for. We come around and we pick them up. Because what does the world do? Oh, they keep stamping on you. Oh, yeah, here we go. Ooh. All right, Dave Webster's down. Let's give him a kick. Oh, he thinks he's a pastor. Ooh, boom. Give him a shot right in the ribs. Ooh. Oh, oh. When I'm down, who do I have? I have you. I have you. I have you. My friends, my family. My real family's here, but you're also my real family. My biological family, I should say. They're here. I have them. But what happens if they're down? If they're getting kicked and we're getting knocked down as a whole family, biological family, and we come to our church family and you pick us up. I want to ask you, how many times have you been knocked down? And who was there to go to? Sometimes your biological family's not there. They're so busy. But there's always someone here in this congregation that you could call and say, "Brother Bob, man, it's been a really bad week." And Brother Bob picks up the phone and says, "Tell me all about it." Because sometimes you don't want somebody just to tell you what to do. You just want to talk to them. You want to unburden yourself a little bit. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we can pick up those burdens. Because life is tough. Life is tough. In Ephesians chapter 4, a reason to come to church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Why? Why do we come to church? Why do you need to come to church? Because he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Why? For equipping the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Apostles, pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers. We're here. We're supposed to work ourselves out of a job. Did you know that? Me as a pastor, associate pastor, I'm supposed to keep working until I don't have a job anymore. And I'm supposed to what? Give my all to the saints. Who are the saints? Who are the saints? Oh, I'm looking at every one of you. You're all saints. Saint, 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 saint. Maybe not quite a saint. Saint? Yeah, saint. Saint. He's getting there, though. Oh, my gosh. He's got one foot in sainthood. Saint. You're all saints. That's how God looks at you. You're saints. You're saints out there on the internet. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, if you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, you're a saint. Oh, man, that's really big shoes to fill. God looks at me and says, "Oh, Dave Webster, he's a saint." My wife's going, "No, you're not." She knows me. My daughter, Autumn, she knows me. "Oh, he ain't a saint." But really, I am a saint. God says you can fall down, I'll pick you back up, saint. Sometime God uses you to pick that person up, that saint that fell. Oh my goodness, I'm handling the holy, a saint. I'm picking a saint up. We're all saints. So pastor's supposed to work himself right out of a job. I'm supposed to work myself right out of a job. Bob, you're a discipleship teacher. You're supposed to work yourself out of a job. Because we're here to help the saints. And what do the saints do? They go out into the world. They pick other people up. I want you to think of something. God's mountain is high and holy, and all around it is this mucky swamp where sin dwells, right? Jesus came down, and he grabbed Dave Webster, and he pulled him out of that stinky muck, green and brown and everything. Oh, he washed him off with his blood, got him up out of there. And what's Dave supposed to do? Go to the top of the mountain, right? Get to the top of the mountain, get away from that muck. Oh, it's putrid down there. Where did Jesus go? He stayed right there at the edge. That's where we're supposed to be, saints, right there at the edge with Jesus going, come here, brother. Come here, sister. Oh, pull him out. Oh, yeah, pull him out. Get him out of there. I got to land this plane because I'm running out of time. I'm going to get to the end here because this sermon turned into way too long of a sermon. It really did. I got a couple of minutes, but I want to land this plane. One day, as Pastor Rich preached last week, God has this patience, his long suffering, okay? He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for, to tell people about that. But I'm telling you, one day, the door is going to close on the church. The door is going to close. And if you think things are bad now, they're going to get exponentially worse in this world. Because God's going to pull his Holy Spirit off this planet. And since he can't remove the Holy Spirit from us, we're going to be removed. And the true church is not going to be here. And if you wanted to become a member of a church then, there's going to be plenty of apostate churches and churches that will tickle your ears and tell you anything you want to know except the truth. And they'll have their doors open. But the true church will be closed. Now this one I didn't give to the guys because I added this morning. I was up at 5 o'clock. I couldn't sleep. You know why? Because I got to come here, and I want to come here, and I'm going to be here to preach the word and handle the word of God is such a responsibility that I never take it lightly. I can't. I'm a minister. I cannot. I'm going to be held to account for that. If I tell you something that's not true, the Lord Jesus is going to tell me about it. And there's going to be repercussions for it. So I don't want to tell you anything. So I get up and I pray and I go through and I add something more to the sermon and it turns into way longer than I wanted it to be. But what is the world going to look like? What is the world going to look like? And I'm in Romans in the first chapter and we're just looking at a couple of verses here. You don't have to turn there, but it's starting in the 18th verse, and I want you to go all the way down to the 32nd verse. Read this and tell me if this isn't what's going on in the world today. This is what's going on. This was written over around 2,000 years ago. All right? And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, the atheists, God gave him over to a depraved mind to do things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. And they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. This is what is going to happen. It's happening now. You look out into your world. There's people out there who absolutely hate God, and they hate you because you believe in God. They call you stupid. They call you uninformed, unintelligent. They think that you're following after some kind of myth. Come out of that stuff. Come in here. Come in here where people believe in God, where people are going to lift you up and love you and give you the truth. Sometimes people don't like truth. They hate truth. They want to do exactly what they want to do. And that's what the sin nature is. And we fight that all the time because it's in our flesh, but it's not in our spirit because our spirits have been renewed. But you fight that. I don't want to tell you what. How many people have backslidden, Christians have backslidden, went out there and they get with people who don't believe in God, who want to go out and have a drunken time and do all kinds of dumbness, and they get pulled away. Come back to us. We'll love you. We'll tell you the truth. We'll help you when you're weak. That's why it is important to be a member of a church. So why come to church? Why come to church? Only you can answer that question, because it's a personal question for each and every one of you. Why do you come to church? Reasons are all different, but God wants you to come to church. God wants you to be with His children. He wants you to be with the other saints. Come shine with the saints. And for you out on the internet, wherever you are in the world, find a church that preaches the gospel, preaches the Bible, and believes the word of God, and get involved and love each other just as Christ has loved us. In His holy name, may He be ever given glory, honor, and the majesty belongs to Him. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.